Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's a big show.
Episode 4 of The Big Show, I, of course, am Sign Guy, joined by Beast Barnett and Nick Iggy. Guys, we've got to the halfway point. We're at episode 4.
We are. We find halfway through.
We are. We have made it to the halfway mark. This episode, 4 out of 8 episodes. And Beast Barnett, I know you've taken copious amounts of notes. I know you're ready for recap duties. Why don't you start us off?
Yes, after being absent for the past 2 episodes, I took many notes for this one. So I guess we'll start it off. We start off the episode with Big Show cooking a tater tot and hot dog casserole. And I guess that was going to be a recipe on a celebrity cooking segment on some type of morning show. I guess he said it was as old and beautiful like he is. I don't know how the comparison was made, but I guess, you know, a tater tot and hot dog casserole can be old and beautiful. There was some argument about whether it needed Greek yogurt from the oldest daughter, Lola. And I guess it was something that he used to make all the time for her when she was a little girl and all that business. And then Mandy came in and had to alert everybody of the Taylor Swift drama at school. And that there's some Instagram influencer at her school who's going to swing the vote the right way, and she's got to get the endorsement. All very, very modern stuff. And then that's when the news breaks in, and we find out that there's a giant sinkhole right in front of the school, which I guess is a common occurrence because that school just, you know, automatically shuts down. They're not in panic or anything. Just, well, I'll just flip the switch, and everybody knows it's sinkhole day. We did discuss off the air that, yeah, they must have had to pay off that beginning of the series where they were talking about how there's sinkholes all the time, and they couldn't just have a whole series go on and not have one sinkhole, so they had to have a sinkhole. So we get a cheap shot on wrestling, like there always has to be, from Lola this time, saying, joking that she would lower herself to watching professional wrestling, but instead wants to go with her father to the celebrity cooking segment on the TV. And JJ decides that she's going to take it upon herself to go to work with Cassie and go to the office and everything. And Mandy's going to stay home. So I guess that's just how that works on sinkhole day. And we get to the office. And, of course, everybody at the office knows and loves JJ because that's how the world should work. I think we had all agreed there.
I agree. I do agree. 100%.
Awesome. Then we get a shot of the nerd desk at the office, I guess, who has a bunch of Funko Pops in the box at work. I mean, I'm not exactly sure on the, you know, Funko Pop protocol, but I thought if you, like, you were going to put them, take them to work, you take them out of the box, and if you're going to keep them in the box, they stay home. I don't know. It just was weird. It looked like a display, a shopping display. I had to get a Fortnite reference in there. And then the weird son of the owner comes in, you know, sucking up to Cassie, and then the owner comes in and puts out a whole call to action that, you know, everybody needs to shape up and start, you know, making sales, and the biggest sale gets a promotion, and then somebody's gonna get fired or something because he's mad and wants people to step up or something like that. And then back home, we got Mandy. She's in a room. She set up some kind of campaign headquarters with her friends there. We got some, you know, teenage back and forth. It kind of sometimes at times quite noise to me, but that's just how that is. There was, they all panic and she should not look at her phone. And there was some bit where somebody threw their phone out the window. Mandy picked up her phone and found out that the Instagram influencer is telling everybody how she got held back in kindergarten and how that looks bad upon her. And we find out that she did get held back in kindergarten for a tetherball injury that made her miss half the school year. And I just wonder how bad of a tetherball injury you could have that something like that would happen.
I presume she had a really serious facial injury when the ball hit her.
Like a collapsed orbital bone kind of situation?
Yes, I am familiar with those.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going with that one. You wouldn't know. I don't think you'd make it. Well, I'm with the temerity that you came out of your injury, you probably would have made it back to kindergarten.
I might have.
So, Mandy, I think we all agree you would have. So, Mandy probably should toughened up a little bit. Then we're on the set of the TV show. There's some joke about Magic Mike and that Big Show rented it because he thought it was about magicians. But we all know that he just wanted to support his friend Kevin Nash. The producer or host or whatever tells them at the last minute that time got cut so they could all talk about the sinkhole instead of the food segment, even though sinkholes, I guess, happen all the time. But, you know, Big Show, you know, doing his tater tot and hot dog casserole is expendable. So their time gets cut. They're all panicking. Lola and Big Show are trying to, you know, do the recipe, but antics ensue and then burning stuff. And they get really mad at each other. And the argument about the Greek yogurt again. And Big Show just freaks out when the Greek yogurt touches the casserole and hurls it across the set. And, you know, when getting the host covered in hot dog and tater tot casserole with Greek yogurt. And the host must have fucked the pan crate because she says that it's a real shoot show. A real shoot show. Pan crate. Thought it was pan crate. Hello? Is this thing on?
What you did there.
Thank you. Okay. And then after that, we cut to JJ and Cassie at the good old haunted house that they're still trying to sell. And we got some potential buyers there. And Cassie and the son of the owner doing their, you know, house selling tricks. But JJ turns on the cute factor and really helps them sell the house. And, of course, she wants her cut, which I think she deserved. And then we go back to the family home where Mandy, I guess, has paid off somebody called the Wolf, who is going to give them dirt on Taylor Swift. And the doorbell rings, and there's this person with a hood over their face, like a hoodie hood, and then she hands them an envelope, and that's all we get out of the Masked Wolf payoff. And but whatever. So they open the envelope and find out that Taylor Swift's real name is Cliff. It is Cliff Swift, and that the Taylor thing really is a ploy for popularity. And then we got Lola and Big Show back home. They're still fighting about the TV show and about how they wouldn't listen to each other or how they want to do things their way. So they decide they're going to have a cook-off. So that's something that's going to really happen, and it's, spoiler alert, not good. And then we go back to the haunted house where Cassie and the owner's son are having a little discussion about how they still have the sale in the bag, but they've just got to admit to the buyers that it's a haunted house and they're legally required to do that. But they decide they're going to lie and not tell them. And JJ is watching closely and learning to, lie from her lying mother. So that's where that was going. And, this can't have been the first time with how JJ has developed in life. I'm sure this is something she's seen often.
A very common occurrence.
Common occurrence, exactly, yes. And so then Mandy is all back at the house concerned with her friends. We get a shot of the Instagram influencer, telling everybody that Taylor Swift is Cliff. And, Mandy might think she went too far revealing Taylor Swift's shoot name. And, from that we go into our dreadful cook-off. Round one, the appetizer round. Lola comes out with some nice deconstructed s'mores. That's all right. And then Big Show reveals some crackers and ketchup that he tries to pass off as brioche. I don't feel like things are that bad in the Big Show house where that's all he could come up with. But I guess so. He's living on crackers and ketchup. Maybe they need a smaller house. I don't know. Round two, Lola comes out with turkey sliders. And they look all right. They look good. Everybody agrees they're good. And then Big Show, takes the cheap way out by pandering to the judges with three types of grilled cheeses, each made for the, judges' preferences. Cassie, whose grilled cheese preference is to not have cheese, which, who doesn't like cheese? I just don't understand.
Not a grilled cheese at that point.
Exactly.
Like it was grilled bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
this
all
is,
it is.
This is grilled bread. It's flabbergasting, and it just gets me all choked up. And I'm moving on from that. But so it's 1-1 in the food contest so far. So it's down to the dessert round, and they're back in the kitchen fighting over their dessert. Lola's got a key lime pie that she needs the whipped cream for, and Big Show needs the whipped cream for something else. So they, wrestle their way to the fridge and fight for the whipped cream, and Lola pulls it out, haha, she's got the whipped cream, so she's going to win, right? But no, Big Show has her key lime pie. But folks, the key lime pie already has whipped cream on it. So they get in a big fight over the whipped cream that Big Show could have just had, and she could just, you know, realize her own key lime pie already had its whipped cream. But no, they've got to throw pies at each other and make a mess. So then we're back in the living room, and Cassie and JJ are sitting there, and JJ's stolen one of the Funko Pops from the office. And she, you know, justifies that as equal to her mom not telling the buyers about the haunted house, which I don't see the connection to, but they do. And Cassie realizes that she's right. That is just like not telling the buyers that the house is haunted. Let's see. So she realizes she's being a bad influence. Oh, and then Cliff Swift shows up out of nowhere, the former Taylor Swift, and starts, you know, apologizing about his bad tactics in the race, and, you know, makes Mandy feel guilty, and they're talking like, you know, like they both like each other's ideas, and then, you know, the reveal is that I can't in good conscience say that this is the stated reveal of the episode, but in my mind this was all a Cliff Swift ploy to put on the moves to get close to Mandy, and he gives her one of the weakest kisses in television history, but Mandy wants more, so that's how that went.
Mandy wants more. Is that a Mandy Moore joke?
We'll just say it was, because
it was. Yeah, just claim it.
Yeah, totally, it was. I mean, I need something to make up for that pancreas joke. Okay.
Well,
and then Cassie goes, thank you very much. So Cassie's back at the office to the buyers that the house was haunted and everything, but you come to find out that everybody already knows that she lied, because the son of the owner swerved on her and told the owner that she was lying to the buyers and made everybody upset. So Cassie's going to be the one to get fired, and for some reason the owner's son gets promoted off of that. Somebody gets fired in the crossfire of all this, and he looks sad, and he didn't deserve any of that. That poor guy lost his job just because they're arguing. But Cassie does, you know, proclaim as she's leaving that she's going to still take the haunted house listing with her. So don't worry, folks. We will come back to the haunted house in future episodes. And we come back home, and JJ was there with her the whole time, and because JJ stole a bunch of car keys from the office. And I think this was probably my favorite part of the episode, where JJ is just, you know, taking out everybody's car keys and putting them on the table. That delighted me. And it made her mother happy, I guess. And then we end the episode with Mandy busting in to letting everybody know that she is in love with Taylor Swift, or Cliff Swift, or however you want it. I might have gleaned over the fact that Big Show and Lola at some time in the pie fight, you know, realized that it's the love for each other that makes them so competitive, and Big Show only wants to have the good memories, and that's why he likes his tater tot and hot dog casserole that he made when she was a child, and he wants to keep it that way. Something like that. But, you know, all's good in the end, and, you know, our big cliffhanger is that Mandy and Cliff Swift are in love.
Was that yet another clever turn of phrase?
I don't follow that one.
A cliffhanger about Cliff Swift.
I'll give that one to you there, kind guy.
Dropping all these gems and not even realizing it.
Right. I'll let you have that one, kind guy.
I'll take it. Well, that was the episode. Nick Higgy, what did you think was your favorite character or favorite part of the show this week?
I got to go with JJ again, man. JJ is the highlight of that show. She's not going to be topped in any of the episodes. Even if she's in an episode for one scene, I still think she's going to be the highlight of it. My favorite scene, probably I did love the car key scene. Like, I definitely laughed at that. And I definitely laughed when Big Show, when they were fighting over the Greek yogurt, and he touched the hot pan, and it was so hot that he threw it, and it got on the news anchor. So I think that's what happened. Yeah, like I think the tots were burning, and it just came out of the oven, and they're trying to rush it because they only had a minute to do the whole thing. So it just came out of the oven. Lola's trying to put the Greek yogurt on it. Big Show's like, no, and tries to pull it away, not noticing it's burning hot. And it's so hot, he lets go and kind of throws it, and it gets on the news lady.
That was pretty good.
It definitely did. She was covered in hot dog, tater tot casserole.
Yep. Chili and the Greek yogurt.
What was your favorite character, side guy?
Mine this week, I think I'm going to go with JJ as well, because I thought the whole subplot of her like trying to be the selling point of the house and trying to charm the people so much that they would buy this haunted house was really nice. And then I like how she had all these car keys in her pocket when they went by all these desks, but you never saw her actually move towards any of the desks except for Gary, who was out of town and left all the Funko Pops. So how she got all those keys remains a mystery, but it tied into her character really, really well, I thought.
She's sneaky, that's how.
Exactly.
She is.
Sleight of hand, what JJ does.
That's what JJ does best. Amen.
And I also had to think that, you know, Cassie thought that was really great, but you stand to reason that she could probably be charged with some sort of crime over that, because she's technically got all these car keys in her home from people that did not give her permission to take their car keys.
Yeah, but nobody knows. Nobody knows it was her.
That's very true. Unless
it could have been the other guy. I bet the other guy's going to jail for it. That guy
got
fired.
Poor Josh, yeah, and he was just standing there.
Dang, I feel bad.
He probably lost his job, went out to the parking garage, and he's got no keys, so he can't even drive home.
And then he got arrested for it.
Yep.
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah, bring back Josh. Justice for Josh.
Yeah. Beast, what about you? Who is your favorite character, favorite part of the show?
Well, I will have to make it a clean sweep and say it was JJ. I don't have too much to add on to that. I mean, I already said that car key scene. I loved it. We all love JJ here. It's been another clean sweep on this episode. I'll go ahead and transfer into my opinion about who I liked the least in this episode. And I think I've made my decision that I don't like this Cliff Swift fella. Anytime he's talking about the campaign or anything, he doesn't really seem to care. So I'm pretty sure this was all a ploy just to get close to Mandy and and use it to, I don't know, manipulate her into falling for him. I just think he's sneaky.
You know, I like Swift, Taylor Swift, whatever you want to call him. Maybe he is sneaky, and maybe it'll bite me in the butt in the future. But I just think he's a laid back guy that goes with the flow with everything. And even if it is a ploy to get close to her, you know, like, that's romance. He's just trying to be romantic. He's too shy to ask her out on a date. So he just shows up at her house and kisses her.
Could be.
Which may not be the most romantic thing, but still. But I think my least favorite in this episode is Bennett, the Cassie's, the boss's son, because he stole that. He told on Cassie and said that she didn't tell them about the person that died in that house, even though he suggested it, and he just set her up for failure.
I do have to agree that is probably much worse than anything Taylor Swift's gonna do. So.
Yeah, I think what a jerk Bennett is. But I feel like everyone in this episode kinda did something bad, like with Cassie getting fired. With Cassie getting fired, she basically called that Josh guy out and got him fired. JJ stealing. Mandy, I think Taylor Swift said he didn't leak the information about her getting held back. It was his friend. And so he's like, he's off the campaign trail. And Mandy still hired the wolf to make Taylor Swift look bad and didn't own up to her mistakes. So I feel like that whole family has got their fault at this point.
You're not entirely wrong, it seems like.
And, of course, I haven't seen every episode. Each week I'm watching it before we do the podcast. That way I'm refreshed. So I'm not, I know, Brian Guy, you've seen every episode. Have you, Deez?
I have not. I'm watching them one at a time.
Okay, cool. So we'll see what happens there. So don't spoil anything for us, Brian Guy.
I won't.
Okay, good.
Now,
what about you?
I was with you with Bennett being horrible this episode, but I have to say his father might have been that much worse because he came into the office in a bad mood because he had done badly at golf, and he was kind of threatening the employees, they better go out and close these sales, and someone's going to get a promotion, but it's got to be that day they close all these sales, and he's only doing it because he's obligated. There's some sort of like rule or contractual thing where he's obligated to promote someone apparently, and he didn't really want to do that. And then fires Cassie. He never really heard her side of the story. It was his son's fault that they were in the mess, but he promoted the son, fired Cassie without even asking her about it. Granted, it was probably a fireable offense, and he was going to be justified in it, but he never even asked for her side of the story. So that was kind of a bad way to go. And apparently he's not popular with any of his employees, if we can believe Cassie. She said that nobody there liked him, so he was kind of a miserable guy.
Yeah, and he's got a son that he doesn't really focus or take care of or doesn't care that's around.
Interesting, yeah. The son did say he was doing it for the love of and attention of his father, so might want to, you know, bump that, you know, that hate up the tree or however, whatever clever turn of phrase you want to use.
Nah, he's still stuck. He threw someone under the bus. He got someone fired. He got someone fired just because he couldn't earn his father's love.
And he was proud of
that,
too.
Bad.
He was clearly excited.
He didn't apologize
or
anything.
He did not seem regretful at all.
Although I can see
in
the guy
my other least favorite character. What was that?
I can see the guy being kind of desperate because we saw early in the episode where the father wouldn't even allow him to call him dad at the office. So, I mean, he probably...
Yeah, allowed to.
Yeah, the guy's probably really harsh towards his son just in general. And then at the office, it becomes much worse because he won't even acknowledge that they're related.
Right? Speaking about the office, that Gary guy, like Beast was saying, why would he bring his collectibles to set up on his desk at work? Gary sucks too.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, I was trying to come up with a reason, and my only theory was that he has so many of them that he brought the ones he has extras of or the ones that he cared least to boot to the office and just stored them on his desk so he had room for all of them.
I guess, but, I mean, if you care a little enough to, you know, take them to work, take them out of the box and make it look nice. You're at a professional work environment. Get it out of the box. Come on.
Exactly.
I don't know. Does that hurt the value of them if they come out of the box?
Yeah,
probably. But
taking
if they're
them
double.
To work.
Yeah.
I took it. He was like a collector that he like buys and sells and trades that type of thing. I think he was after the most values rather than he, like, cherishes these Funko Pops and they're going to be in his collection forever. I think it was kind of like a side hustle for him.
You know what? I think we might be on to something and that this Greg guy does deserve some more, you know, hate that he was probably, you know, using his work time to, you know, list these items and, you know, maybe, you know, using work supplies to ship them out. I think Nicky's on to something. We don't like this Greg fella.
No, yeah. He better not show his face around this show. Problems if he does.
You're going down, Greg.
Yeah, Greg.
Because he's a big show.
Greg might be the most hated character that we have not even seen on camera yet.
Damn right he is.
Absolutely.
I'm coming after him.
Wow, that's some deep-seated hatred there. I thought Bennett was bad, but Greg might even take the number one most hated.
Yeah, much worse. Much worse. I'm coming after him. I've confirmed it.
I dare say Greg is the anti-Josh.
You know what? That makes a lot of sense. And I could see that being the truth.
I can dig that.
I'm on board. Well, guys, is there anything that we missed in this episode?
I mean, besides, you know, Cassie almost making it on my worst list because of the grilled cheese thing. But, you know, she's the mother, so she did enough good stuff in this episode to make up for it. And then, you know, I just want to reiterate that the key lime pie already had whipped cream on it. Come on, lady.
It really did. Nick, anything we might have missed?
No, I think we nailed everything. I think the only other thing I noticed in this episode, we touched on this the other week, anytime they mention Taylor Swift, Big Show gets excited about it. But when Mandy said she's in love with Taylor Swift, there's basically no reaction from him.
I don't know.
Maybe he was just in shock that his middle daughter was in love, and so it, like, jarred him so much he didn't have time to react to who it actually was as much as the feeling in general.
Very well could be true.
He was probably just, you know, stifling himself from yelling out, me too.
Me too.
That's a good possibility as well.
What a different episode that would have been.
It would have. I don't know if we totally gave it justice, but just to point out the scene when Cassie and JJ are walking out of the elevator at the office and they're doing the slow motion and the like hair flowing entrance like they're John Morrison on SmackDown, I thought that was a great touch.
Oh, yeah.
I like that a lot. Absolutely.
But yeah, overall, pretty good episode.
I told you it'd rebound from last week.
I'm glad. I think last week's was my least favorite of the season so far, but
I'm glad I'm here to mention that actually last week was my favorite episode because Big Show punched a mascot, but I'll take my punishment as not getting to elaborate, you know, that this is a closed case, but I just had to speak
my mind. It's closed. Well, you know, peace too late. It's too late to throw it in. You're out of here.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll see y'all next week then.
Yes, we will talk next week. Hopefully there'll be some new cool things to talk about, maybe a new hated character. And Greg, if you're listening, take those off your desk.
I hope he is.
Screw you, Greg.
Beast, anything you need to say, plug, promote as we're going?
Hashtag justice for Josh.
Justice for Josh.
That's a good one.
Well, y'all.
Nick, anything you want to plug or promote? Perhaps a book that has some jokes in it?
There's No Punchline, an independent wrestling joke book featuring over 100 independent professional wrestlers made by me, Nick Higgy. You can get it for $13. That includes shipping and handling. PayPal, Venmo, contact me directly to order yours. Follow me, Nick Higgy 210. Oh, no, it's Nick Higgy _ on Twitter now. And just be safe out there.
Absolutely.
What about you guys?
I'm going to be reading my copy of There's No Punchline, especially the part when it wants to know if I know how Sonico enters a room.
Oh, that's a good one. You want to hit him with
it? It is. It really is. And I've seen him enter a bunch of rooms before. I've known him since he started his career. But you can follow me at
SonGuyHPW.
Look me up on the Book of Faces. A bunch of ways you can find me. We'll be back next week. Episode 5. We're over the halfway point, heading into episode 5. Cassie's out of work, so we'll probably find out more on that later. Guys, it's been a great episode. We'll talk to you next week.